It's 6:15 on a Tuesday, and that means one thing and one thing only. It's time to unleash the snarling, foaming at the mouth junkyard dog of an L.A. city watchdog, Jack Humphreyville. Jack, how are you?
I'm very well. Welcome back, Doug.
Thank you. I needed to get I stopped for directions twice to find the radio station. I was gone so long, I actually couldn't remember where I was.
He was talking into the wrong end of the mic for the first half hour, too.
I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. Anyway, we're happy to be back. So while gone, a couple of labor issues have crept up. One is the new UTLA president is saying that actually starting to tell members, that's the union that represents the LAUSD school teachers, to start saving money for a possible strike. And Tyler Eisen, who's the president of the LA Police Protective League, the union that represents the LAPD officers, the 9,900 member LAPPL rejected a one-year contract extension.
Yeah, I think a majority. You know, they announced on Friday night that the union rank and file had refused this offer. And you know, it's an interesting one, and you know, I see it from both sides, if you will. You know, the city doesn't have any money, and yet the cops want more money. Who knows exactly why the reason is, but from a financial point of view, I think this could have some pretty serious implications on the city's budget. As you probably know, next year we're looking at, a budget deficit of about $165 million. And if the cops want more over and above what was projected, that's just going to put a bigger hole in the budget. As it was, I think that the contract as it was written was going to create a was going to increase the deficit because of the need for the cops negotiated a higher down payment on the banked overtime that the city had run up over
Jack,
the last.
Jack, let me ask you a quick one. Was this a contract, because I'm not clear on the details, was this a contract extension or a new one-year contract?
It was my understanding. You know, I never saw the words contract extension, so it was just a one-year deal.
Okay, but with new terms?
You know, I don't think anybody's seen the contract.
I got you. We'll invite Tyler Eisen to come on and talk to us about that. So obviously, we've got a bunch of contracts that are going to be coming up throughout the course of this budgeting process, and we go back again. We've seen many, many times over in the past that when these contracts come up, this is when deals get made, usually with the most expensive portions loaded on in the back end of these deals, and we don't find out about it until years later.
Well, it's not only that. You don't find out about it at all until after everything's said and done. And I think one of the things that I think we should be doing or insisting on is that before negotiations begin, I think there needs to be an independent analysis of, you know, the bid and the ask and what the city's willing to do. And I think that analysis should be made public. That's what they're doing down in Orange County right now. I think the Board of Supervisors down there, and I think Costa Mesa is doing it, and Fullerton has some kind of openness law or disclosure law that tells you what's going on. But first of all, I think we need to have a better understanding of what the bid and the ask is. I think the second thing is as these negotiations proceed, I think there should be some levels of disclosure as opposed to, you know, these people coming out there and saying at the end, hey, look what we have. I think we need to have, people need to know what the hell is going on behind these closed doors down at City Hall. And I think finally is that before any deal is put to the membership or any deal is put to the city council to have them approve it, I think there needs to be a 10-day cooling off period or a waiting period where they disclose the contract. And in addition to disclosing the contract, I think there needs to be an analysis of what are the financial and operational implications of this contract.
Well, you know, that's always the last thought. It really is. I mean, politicians look at the political consequences first, and then the financial consequences come as a caboose. We're seeing that at the state level with this cap and trade carbon offset nonsense that we were somehow talked into passing at the polls, the global warming thing. Now, all of a sudden, even the Democrats are starting to look at, geez, I don't know, big gas taxes and increasing the cost of doing business in California. This is going to be really unpopular with people, and there might be a price to be paid for this now that we're... And so they're looking at ways that they might be able to delay or defer or roll it back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think another part of the disclosure is I think there ought to be a detailed listing of all the campaign contributions by, you know, whatever the union is and who they made it to. And not, this would imply not only to the city, contributions they made to people in the city, but also throughout the state and the county, so you can get a good, a better idea of the influence. Now, all this information is public, but you have to really dig to get it. Some is on the city's ethics website or the county's website or the state's website, and you just need to see how pervasive the influence is. But
how the LAPD contract is sort of the Cadillac of city contracts. Although I guess you could make an argument, the DWP guys are right there.
Yeah, but, they're a Rolls Royce, Doug.
But the other city union contracts, who else is up for a new deal in the next, let's say, 18 months?
I think 18 months. I think right now, I think the coalition contracts have expired, the cops have expired, and I think the firefighters have expired. So we're having, they're all expired at once. And I think that's a planned strategy and part of the city, just to see if they can get some logic into this whole labor negotiation, so that it doesn't bust the budget and it doesn't bust the pensions. I mean, this whole police pension plan is a mess. Payments have gone, according to the LA Times, payments have gone from $175 million in 2005, and they're going to reach $700 million in a couple of years. That's a four-time increase over, 10 years or something. That's something we just can't afford. And that's assuming that you make 7.75% on your money, which most people, think that's just not a wise assumption. And if you use a different assumption on the rate of return, that payment goes from $700 million to over $1 billion, and that's a budget buster for sure.
All right, Jack Comfortville, the LA City Watchdog. Read his column at CityWatchLA.com.